Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Long Story Short with Dr. William Hardy, live on Blog Talk Radio. Hold on to your seats as this seasoned philosopher, theologian, and futurist attempts to summarize the history, current issues, and future of people of African descent. This is Long Story Short.
Greetings to everyone. Greetings to you all here in the United States and around the planet Earth. This is Long Story Short, and today we're looking at the Black Church. Very few people will disagree with me that African Americans are, by most accounts, more religious than any particular group in the American experience. Religion, from the Latin word religio, means return to self. A further interpretation from a Christian perspective is love thy neighbor as thyself. So if you think about it, you have a natural connection to Almighty God. The African American experience expresses that each and every day, just as our African counterparts. Religion is a part of life. It's not an extra part of life. It is life. And as a part of the fabric of the American Black people, Black people hold the position as being among over 2,000 religions in the United States of America. This indicates that there are over 2,000 faiths in the United States. So faith, what is faith? Well, if we think about it, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And that's from the Bible, it's from Hebrews. But a philosophical description or definition of faith is simply belief without evidence. Belief without evidence. The question then is, what is belief? Belief is the mental acceptance of a statement as true. So if we're talking about religion in the African American experience or the Black Church, we must have a definition for religion. I said religio, return to self. And a faith story. A faith story. What is your faith? Faith, according to Hebrews again, it's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Or belief without evidence. Belief without an understanding of truth. So belief, the mental acceptance of a statement as true. So a person's faith does not have to have then the verification of truth, because it is not a philosophical point when you're thinking of faith. That's the definition. But what we should look at when we're talking about religion, it is not to be understood as a logical process. So for the African American community, there are at least seven major denominations in the African American experience, the black church. The black church. A few years ago, Time magazine ran a particular article on religion and the black church. And that particular religion article was called Strains, S-T-R-A-I-N-S, Strains on the Heart. United States Black Churches Battle Apathy and Threats to Their Relevance, but also reveal a great new understanding of who they are. The black church in the African American experience has seven major denominations, but there is a new phenomenon now. We will call it the mega black church. In the United States of America, of the seven major denominations, the black church focuses on a Protestant understanding, meaning a protesting. The Catholic Church, or the Church Universal, Catholic, started in Rome. And from that time, the church began to splinter into several parts. And as the church split in Rome, and all of us remember this is African American History Month, so remember that there is something called slavery, African slavery, and African people, because of European expansion, were taken out of Africa. The transatlantic slave trade brought African people from Africa to South America, Central America, and this northern hemisphere that we now, in this portion of it, is North America, is the United States of America. We have now 50 states, but in those days, we had 13 colonies, and north of us is Canada. But those African people who came to this new world brought with them their religion, their understanding of God, their concept of God. And the concept of God has now morphed into seven major denominations. The biggest of the seven major denominations is the 7.5 million member National Baptist Convention, USA. Then the National Baptist Convention is the largest of the seven major denominations, and like Baptist groups, they then give an autonomy to each individual church. Each individual church, meaning they are located at the corner of Fifth Street and West Hallelujah. And in that corner church, the pastor and the deacons or the elders of that church and the members run the church. It's a congregation. That's a congregationalist church. So the National Baptist Convention USA is the largest of the seven. The second group of people that have organized themselves as a Baptist group, the National Baptist Convention of America. And the National Baptist Convention USA had a split back during the days of Martin Luther King Jr. Martin Luther King Jr. argued with the National Convention and indicated that every pastor needing to heed his or now her call, if you're heeding your call, you ought to go to a divinity school, a seminary, be educated in the Bible and the workings of religion. And so individuals voted, and they did not like it. And Martin Luther King and his group left the National Baptist Convention USA and created the Progressive National Baptist Convention Incorporated, the Progressive National Baptist Convention Incorporated. All three groups, National Convention, the National Baptist Convention USA, the National Baptist Convention of America, and the Progressive National Baptist Convention, are all three kindred groups. They're Baptist, Congregationalist churches. The oldest of the black denominations, though, however, is the African Methodist Episcopal Church, the national organization, or now the worldwide connectional African Methodist Episcopal Church, has over 3 million members. But there, as a Methodist group founded in Oxford, England, by a person by the name of John Wesley, and then there was a Baltimore conference here in the United States of America in the 1700s, the late 1700s, and out of that Baltimore conference came a number of organizations of the Methodist faith. John Wesley being the person, but Richard Allen was there, a black former slave, and another person by the name of Harry Hoosier was there. Harry Hoosier went on to become what you today and you and I would call the United Methodist Church, the Black United Methodist. So there is a second group. But the second group of the African Methodists is the African Methodist Episcopal Zion Church. So now you have three different Methodist groups, three different Baptist groups, and then a fourth Methodist group came after the Civil War. These people in Jackson, Tennessee, still wanted to be Methodists, and they formed what was then called the Colored Methodist Episcopal Church, CME. But as the years went on, and they became Christian Methodist Episcopal Church. So you have the AME Church, the African Methodist Episcopal Church, founded by Richard Allen in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 1789, incorporated in 1816, and that means that in the year 2016, they will be 200 years old, and they will meet again in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The second group, the African Methodist Episcopal Zion Church, out of New York, state of New York, where it was founded, and they then became more famous for the fact that several individuals that didn't know Sojourner Truth, Harriet Tubman, are individuals who we would hear about on the Underground Railroad. So we know that the African Methodist Episcopal Church, Richard Allen and his wife Sarah Allen, hid slaves in their home and in their Bethel AME Church in Philadelphia. When slaves came from the south and went north, they hid them. Sarah Allen and Richard Allen hid the runaway slaves, in their homes and in that church in Philadelphia. The African Methodist Episcopal Zion Church, they had individuals who were conductors along the Underground Railroad, along with others of the AME Church, and there were four lots, A-M-E-C, A-M-E-C, four knots. Those four knots for those two organizations freed many, many runaway slaves as they were leaving the Old South going north. Then the CME Church started after the Civil War, and they are the smallest of the three groups. And remember, we have also the Black United Methodist. The United Methodist Church is a major white denomination. In fact, if all of the four Black Methodist churches would come together with the United Methodist Church, they would be the largest denomination in the United States of America to this very day. Who knows whether those groups will ever come together? So now we have the Baptists, we have the Methodists, and we have the Church of God in Christ, COGIC, Church of God in Christ. COGIC, founded in Memphis, Tennessee. They are the fastest growing religion in the United States of America, black or white. The African system still works. It still works. Religion, meaning a belief in the concept of God, the Church of God in Christ. They believe in the Holy Spirit manifests itself in speaking in tongues and laying on of hands. We have more than 24 plus million people in the African American experience that say they go to church, and they belong to at least those seven or eight major denominations. Black Christianity, as the Time Magazine article says, preaches a gospel of deliverance, the reality of a vivid flesh and blood Jesus, and the urgency of spiritual rebirth, a rebirth in God stepping into time and changing the direction of a people. Black people today still believe that there is a God somewhere. There is a God somewhere. The major emphasis today in the African American experience is very similar to the experience of more than 100 years ago. Over 100 years ago, it was freeing a group of people who were in bondage in the United States of America. Black people, African-descended people who are in bondage. They're in slavery in the United States of America. But they had a belief that God would deliver them from their chains of bondage. And so in Hush Harbor or Brush Harbor is a place where you could steal away from the plantation, big house, and go to a area where there are trees and bushes, shrubs, where you could hide away and Massa would not find you, way down, so many times down by the riverside. And slaves would then meet in that little area. In that little Brush Harbor, we had a podcast, a long story short, that's focused on exactly this area, Brush Harbor, or Hush Harbor. Hush, hush, somebody's calling my name. So hush, a clandestine place where you could meet. And out of that came then this strategy of going to God on their own, as opposed to only having Massa, the big house, the owner of the plantation, to govern the people. If you remember 12 years a slave, there was the plantation owner who would then meet with the slaves every Sunday morning and tell them, this is gospel. You're not to do this. You're not to do that. And they reinterpreted the Bible only to keep black people in slavery. And the sad to say to you, my listeners, many, many black churches today are still preaching slave mentality Christianity. That is not good. And one of the breakthroughs of today's understanding of the concept of God in the black community is the mega church, the mega black church. Now, I mentioned that there are over 24, 25, 26 million black people from some of the surveys that have been taken recently. There's 24, 25 million of 40 million people, meaning over half of the African-American people say they go to church to one of these major denominations. But now there is a new phenomenon, the full gospel, and neo-Pentecostalism. Churches that have over 2,000 members coming regularly every Sunday morning or every Sunday afternoon, whatever the time is, and they meet regularly, and many of them in old malls and now newly created, architecturally designed to be more aesthetically appealing to the African-American experience. And we call those churches mega black churches. Most recently, there was a survey of mega churches in the United States of America, and in the state of Tennessee, the largest mega church meeting every Sunday, 10,000 plus members, is Mount Zion Baptist Church in Nashville, Tennessee area, where the pastor is the Reverend Dr. Joseph Warren Walker. Over 10,000 members every Sunday meeting in that church. There are also a number of African Methodist mega churches. Allen Temple in Jamaica, Queens, New York, with over 15,000 members meeting every Sunday. There are other AME churches in the Washington, D.C., the District of Columbia, Maryland area. Maryland and Virginia, those two states gave us then the District of Columbia. And in that area, the largest African-American population now and the richest African-American population in the United States of America is PG County, Prince George's County, Maryland. And in that county, there is one major African Methodist Episcopal Church meeting every Sunday with over 10,000 members. There are others in that Washington, D.C. area, Virginia area. There are other churches. In Detroit area, there are black churches, are mega churches. In Chicago, and certainly Los Angeles, California, Atlanta, Georgia, big cities, Texas. Most of us heard of T.D. Jakes. And T.D. Jakes has his church. It meets on Sundays. And what a joy it is to know that that many black people come together in these mega churches. It's a new phenomenon. What is the difference between the mega churches, wherever they're located across the United States? What is the difference between the mega black churches and the regular traditional black churches? Well, the ministries, the extent of the ministries, those ministries, meaning what are the tenets of Christianity? When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. When you do to these, the least of these, you do it also to me. This Christian experience, this Christian experience is carried out in these mega churches in a major way. One of the larger churches in Baltimore, Maryland, another mega church, Bethel AME Church in Baltimore, Maryland, has so many members that they have an opportunity for men, black men, a very, very, very difficult group of people to come to church on a regular basis. But in the mega churches, they're there. They are present. Over half of the congregation, or should we say the church that meets in Baltimore, are black men. Many of them are young people. Youth, black youth, have often been attracted also to another phenomenon in today and time. They're not Christian, but they are a part of the Abrahamic or the Ibrahimic concept of religion, and it is the Islamic. There are Sunni Muslims in the United States, Shia Muslims, and of course the Nation of Islam, started by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, now with Louis Farrakhan at its head. And they have also other groups also within that denomination. The son of Elijah Muhammad is also a person who then broke away. We all remember Malcolm X, Muhammad Ali. He's an individual. Another phenomenon in the African American experience, but not Christian, but Islamic. And so for the history of this church experience, all of us should know Alex Haley, when he wrote the book Roots and traced his family back from Virginia to the Gambia, Senegambia, the individuals were Islamic, because most of the northern part of Africa after the year 622 CE, CE meaning the common era, no longer AD after death, because Christianity is not the only religion. Christianity is not the only faith, not the only denomination that are here. We are talking about the black church experience, and it is more than Christian. It is more than Islamic. And there are a number of independent black churches. Independent black churches. They are Pentecostal, neo-Pentecostal, meaning new Pentecostal. And they also believe in speaking in tongues and laying on of hands. And there are other groups that come out of the Baptist, you know, individuals. I remember years ago people would say, oh yeah, he's a foot washing Baptist. Regardless of the various denominations and the faith story, faith, belief without evidence, whatever the faith story, it is a moral foundation that has been laid in the African American experience, that has led black people to be the most religious group of people on the planet Earth outside of Africa. Outside of Africa. The male-oriented Islam has an active membership. And many African-American males who go to prison, go to jail, even now, they convert to Islam because that is one way to stay away from the predators in the jailhouse. And when they come home, they are Islamic. And you may remember the movie Malcolm X. The movie Malcolm X showed that Malcolm X had called all of his brothers of the Nation of Islam to the precinct jailhouse, if you remember. And when the police officers looked out the window and saw all of those black men in white shirts, black bow ties, standing there, the kind of fortress, a human fortress all around that prison, that is the power of the black church here at the mosque. I remember also a story of Christianity and Islam coming together in Philadelphia to fight drugs and alcohol abuse in the projects. And a contract was given. And between the people of the Nation of Islam and the charismatic black Christian churches, they came together and managed the project through a contract with the Department of Housing and Urban Development. Do you know the drugs, the drug dealing went down? The unsafe situation of little kids being able to play in the on the grass, they were able to do so. No longer was it a blackboard jungle or an asphalt jungle. These were African people in America leaning on their faith story, Islam and Christianity. And do not forget, there is an element of Jewish people, black Jews in the United States of America. All three Ibrahimic faiths, or all three are the extension of Abraham, or Ibrahim. And these faith stories have kept the black experience alive and kept people in an understanding that there is a better day tomorrow. But I would offer to you today, as we're looking at the black church, you should look to how God is working in your life right now. That neo-Pentecostalism, that new understanding of how God is active and working in your life right now, is a new way of looking at this. No one talking about eschatological or eschatological. Eschatology, meaning the end of times. The world is coming to an end. The world is not coming to an end, my brothers and sisters, but a way of life is coming to an end. This planet has been around for at least 10 to 12 billion years. Billion, B, with a B, billion. And with that being the case, then the world is not coming to an end, but a way of life is coming to an end, and that's what was written in the Bible. As a theologian, believe me, I am saying to you what is fact. And in the new understanding of who we are as a people who lean on the concept of God, the belief in a God, there is a power beyond us. It seems to do something that we are not really aware of today. Even today, this is over 2,000 years later in the Christian experience. Same thing almost within a few years, the Islamic experience. And today, as we look at all of the different types of religions that are in the United States of America, there are over 2,000 religions. Do not buy into the understanding that, well, when they took religion out of the church, out of the schools, that's when everybody went to hell in a handbasket. It is not true. The individuals who founded the United States of America were deists. A deist is a person who believes in the concept of God, but then God creates and then walks away. You figure out the rest of it. That's a deist. So these individuals, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, they were deists. Do not believe the Tea Party. These are deists, and these individuals created in this country. And they said that it should not be a country that has a state religion, meaning no one religion is to control the United States of America. If you have a country that is controlled by the concept of God, then that is a theocracy, not a democracy. Theocracy. Theism, or theos in Greek, is God, means God. So therefore, the study of God, theology. Now, I would offer you another time for you to think more about the black church and the black church experience. I have run out of time. But this has been a long story short. And if this is your first time tuning in, be sure to check out blogtalkradio.com/longstoryshort to download previous programs. For the entire month of February, we are celebrating Black History Month by bringing you different stories of the African American experience. Listen every night at 9 p.m. Eastern, and I am your host, Dr. William Hardy, and I look forward to sharing another exciting episode of A Long Story Short. See you next time. Bye-bye.